everybody. Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm here with my very sweet, dear friend, Andrea Parker.
Hi.
Back. She's been with us before.
Yes.
We love same old. When you come to hang out, y'all, Andrea's been at Sagemont forever.
A long time. Decades.
Decades. Long time. Mm-hmm. And you probably see her running around. And one thing I will say that people might have noticed, and I love that you do this, is on Sunday mornings in worship, you are, because we have staff that'll come down and are willing to pray with people. And I love that you do that.
It's one of my favorite things that I do now. I just kind of jumped into it. One Sunday, I tried to jump down there as someone who wasn't usual, and I realized, oh, they don't know who I am.
Right.
And so one girl was like, why would I pray with you?
Who are you?
Yeah. So I actually became official on the team. And so then, but it's been one of my absolute favorite things. Just people who, they come up and they're vulnerable and they trust you and give you this honor that you get to just lift up their knees to the Lord.
Yes.
It's, I love it. Every time.
I love it.
And
I do
like too. A baby.
I love it so much. And I think it's so cool because for anybody that hasn't ever done, you see people doing it and you're like, should I? But what would I say? I don't. Listen, I've had people come up and just say, my name is Susie. And that's all they can get out. And I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
God knows exactly where you are. I don't need to know your story and what's going on. God does. And I can pray. Mm-hmm. And it really is a sweet time.
They'll come up and say, I don't know. I just need prayer.
Yes.
And I'm like, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's really cool. If you haven't done that, if you're with us on Sunday morning and you ever want to.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on. It's a special time. And the number of women I've talked to that are like, I think about it, but then I don't want to. And I'm like,
yeah,
you could do it.
And if you're uncomfortable with a guy, like that's what's good about, we have women up there.
Yep.
So if you want to wait for you don't have to be prayed for with a man. You can,
wait
for a woman and we'll be down there as long as you need us.
Yeah.
Levi can't wait.
That's right. And he's good about it. And I love so much that our worship team, if they see people waiting, they're like, microphone done. I'm down. Like it really is what we're doing. So it's a sweet time. But I do love, people might be like, oh, that's that girl from 11:15 service. Sit down there praying.
Yep.
That's Andrea. She's a sweetie and she'll pray with you. You've been here a long time. You have three
boys.
Adorable boys.
They're pretty great.
It's hard to call them adorable now. They're getting big.
They're manly.
Men. They're men.
Yes.
They're all, you are for sure the shortest one in your family.
It's weird. I knew that was eventually going to happen.
Sure.
Because I'm not a short girl.
No.
So to be the shortest is
a whole different world.
It's fun though. Kind of like it.
Is Corbin your oldest the second shortest?
I mean, like, I he's taller than me.
Yeah.
That's it.
But his little brothers are taller.
My baby
than him.
Boy is taller than his older brother, and my middle is the tallest.
Yeah.
He's like almost 6'5".
Yeah, I was going to say, Trace hasn't hit.
No, he's like 6'2", and I think he's probably not going to go
in. Okay.
We'll
so
see.
Alton might have the top.
Alton's got it.
So tall.
He wins.
They're such good boys.
They really are. They've been a huge blessing. This, you don't know what's going to happen with your kids as you get older. You know, you see the way every other family turns out. You know, you pray and you hope and you have these desires and these hopes that someday your kids will love the Lord and they will honor him and that you'll have a good relationship with them. I mean, granted, they're only like 21, 18, and 15, so we've still got lots of life to live.
Sure.
But right now, it's just a huge honor to see them all serving the Lord and really living their lives for him and being just such a joy to me.
Yeah.
I forget what that scripture is, but you know, like, something about, oh gosh,
train up your kids in the way they should go.
Yeah, something about, but them being like a blessing to you.
Oh,
somewhere.
Yeah, getting to see them. Yeah. It is, I mean, it's the greatest thing.
I'll think of it another time when we're not videoing.
It's fine. The Bible's big.
It is.
It's there's lots of good stuff in it. So you and I and Adrian Gutierrez and y'all's names. I told Adrian. Adrian was here last time, and so this is kind of a two-part series, so if you're just catching this one, you're going to want to go back and watch Adrian's as well. But I told her too, y'all's names are so much alike and yet completely different, and so if I say your last names with them every single time. It's so I make sure I say it correctly. Right. But Adrian Gutierrez, you and I got the honor of going down and getting to help lead out in the teaching sessions of Sagemont U Girls Retreat this fall. And the topic that they asked us to speak on was unity and just what that looks like. I spoke on disunity because if you're going to talk about something, what's the opposite of it? So I talked about disunity. And then Adrian did unity with God, which is the table talk. You can go back and watch if you didn't catch that one. And then you did unity with others. And so as I was looking at kind of finishing out the year, what are we, what would be a great thing for us to spend time visiting about on table talk? It really was, unity was a huge thing, especially I think during the holiday season. Adrian and I talked about unity with God. You think during the holiday season would should be the most important part, but so often we get caught up in the world and after the holidays you're like, what was that? And so we really talked about that on that. You can go check that one out. And then for you and I today to get to come in and talk about unity with others. Again, it's something we deal with all the time, but at the holidays, it's almost highlighted.
In your face.
It's in your face because you're maybe having to spend time with people that you only see once a year. You're maybe having to spend time with people that because it's Christmas, there is a responsibility to somehow deal with them in ways you might not have to any other times throughout the year. And so I loved that we were going to get to talk about this and that you got to share about unity with others. And I will say the disunity side of it, the things I talked about that cause great disunity, gossip. Can hugely cause so much disunity. And it's something we have control over. We don't have to do that. We shouldn't do
that. That's huge. We actually have control over gossip.
We do. Just, you know, or even here's the harder thing, looking at someone you love and going, we're not talking about that.
Stopping the conversation.
Stopping the conversation is so important because that causes such great disunity. But just different things we talked about that cause disunity. And so when you got to talk about unity with others, when they first came to you and asked you to do that, what were some of the first things that popped into your mind?
I was excited. I love the topic. And then I also, as I got into studying it, I was like, ooh, conviction. Like, okay. So that's one of the things I love. Like when you really get into studying the Bible with the purpose of teaching what you're learning, I feel like the Lord does such a good job when you're, you know, putting yourself in that position to be teachable. He teaches you.
Absolutely.
And so he uses what he's teaching you to help teach others, which is, I think, essentially discipleship. You know, you just, you let the Lord teach you and then you, you help teach others. So I was excited, but also I just kind of felt this burden to maintain like authenticity. And I think I'm normally, I'm the kind of person who it is what it is. I don't really hide. I can't hide my personality. And so I don't have like a typical like speaker's kind of way. And so I got up there and I just was, this is who I am. And this is what I learned and we're going to have fun. So, and it might be weird, but
no, I think it's great. I think people so appreciate that.
It's a different perspective. I know.
I love that. So as you were digging into that, I know I've looked at your stuff because we all shared our notes and everything before we were going to teach for the weekend. What do you think was maybe the thing that you were like, if these girls walk away with anything, what do I want them to walk away with?
It was mostly some practical things to hold on to, just something tangible. I got into Ephesians chapter 4 and it was talking about kind of spiritual gifts that we did talk about that a little bit. But what I ended up honing in on was Romans chapter 12, because at the second half of the verse, it goes into so many very, very practical things. But where is it? I put it on a different page.
You're fine.
Where are you?
Romans.
Okay, found it.
Chapter 12, there it is.
Okay, so it just, that literally 15 things that we just, we ticked through and, you know, talked about being sincere. You have to be genuine. You have to be sincere with people. Otherwise, they're not going to trust you. And then You want to cling to what's good, be devoted to love, selfless, honor, serve with zeal, joyful hope, patience, prayer, generosity, connecting with people, having harmony, humility, pursuing peace, being kind, all of these things. So, I mean, yeah. I dug into that. Go Romans 12 verses 9 through 21 addresses all 15 of those things. And it's just, I love that the Lord gives us, he doesn't just say, hey, be united with one another. Right. He's like, this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Here's some ways that you can really apply to your life. It's hard, but, you know, you need to do it.
And I think that's one of the cool things is if he didn't know that what he was asking of us was going to be difficult for us, he wouldn't mm-hmm. say, here's a bunch of tools to help you be that way.
Right.
And also to go, it's important enough mm-hmm. that I need you to do this. And so I want to equip you.
Yeah.
Because I know in our sinful nature, it is uh-huh. very difficult to always choose unity because a lot of the times we want to choose self.
Yes.
And that
for sure
so often causes disunity.
One of the things, and because I went through and I was looking at when I was going through thinking I was going to use Ephesians, mm-hmm. I went through because we did the church did a huge study through Ephesians.
Right.
And so I was looking back on my notes from like when Scott Pollock was here and Stuart mm-hmm. Rothberg was teaching over specifically in the chapter 4 area. I found a quote because I went back and I even watched some of the sermons.
Yeah.
So one of the things that Scott Pollock said that I thought was just phenomenal was that spiritual maturity is primarily expressed in relationships. Mm. In order to learn how to be gentle and how to be patient, you can't really do that on your own.
Yeah.
It requires a relationship to be taught those skills yeah. and then to practice those skills. So you can't practice all of that without another person involved. We need each other in order to grow.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one of the last things I think I had mentioned was that growth was always meant to be a group effort. Our lives are not meant to be developed alone. It's not sufficient.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed this. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think so much of that to, you know, learn to be gentle.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be in relationship, but then also it has to be challenged
mm-hmm.
for you to actually grow in something. Right?
Right.
Like if you're like, I'm super comfortable and I don't have to change yeah. or grow.
There's no stretch there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so these things, when you're mm-hmm. needing to grow in these things that God's right. called us to, be prepared for it to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Be prepared for there to be
absolutely.
Some stretch.
Yeah. It's like what Pastor Levi was talking about on Sunday, how, you know, we're sharing in the sufferings of Christ. We're not right. We're not meant to sit here and just live mm-hmm. this hunky-dory life. Like,
right.
suffering is, it serves a purpose.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. We have to be willing to do the thing. And I will say, one thing that you know that I love about you is so often when we say, hey, we need to be willing to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we aren't going out and finding the stretch. The stretch happens to us.
It finds us.
Right? The stretch just happens.
For sure.
And then we get to choose how we're going to walk through the stretch.
Exactly.
And 3 years ago?
Yeah.
3 years mm-hmm. ago, you started the process of mm-hmm. a divorce.
Yes.
And it was awful. I mean, just, mm-hmm. you know, there's no other way to put it. It was yeah. really awful. And so the stretch came to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say from a perspective on the outside, watching mm-hmm. you the last 3 years, it's been amazing to see God, mm-hmm. you be willing to be stretched
mm-hmm.
in the areas. Maybe yeah. willing's not the right word.
She did it. It happened.
You had to. But there's a million different choices you could have made.
Oh, yeah.
A million different choices you could have
yeah,
made.
Absolutely.
That would not have been honoring and glorifying to God, and you have chosen yeah. to do that. And talk just a little bit, again, mm-hmm. your vulnerability. She's not upset I'm asking her these questions.
No.
In those kinds of, mm-hmm. I mean, really difficult seasons, you talk about people that are having to walk into now the holiday season
mm-hmm.
of not only does it just not look like it's what I thought it was going to look like, which
right.
is a whole thing you have to deal with. You now have to look at your boys and say, when are you going to go to your dad's?
Yeah.
When are you going to be with me? How is that mm-hmm. looking? All that stuff.
Yeah.
And y'all, this is the deal. Still choosing unity.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are like, how do I do that?
Yeah. Well, I think, and one of the things that I spoke with the girls about was unity is, first and foremost, it's meant to be between believers. Our unity that honors the Lord. I mean, we're kind to unbelievers and yeah. we're not you know, we're not trying to cause division. There's division exists no matter what, because it's believers and unbelievers.
That's right.
So there's a natural division there already. But between believers, we are meant to be on the same foundation. We are meant to be working towards the same goal. And that doesn't mean we're best friends, but that means that we absolutely honor one another. We're patient with one another. We're kind. And we do work together towards the same goal, which is to honor the Lord and to, you know, bring disciples, make more disciples, all right. That jazz. Okay, so when it comes to non-believers or people who are definitely not behaving like a believer, only God knows the heart. But I think it's just so incredibly important to remember that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah, I love that. Yep.
Absolutely. So who are we to rob someone of, you know, prayer? I think prayer is the number one thing that I deal with in regards to people that I no longer see or talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way that I can put them on the throne, put them at the foot of the throne of Jesus and know that that's the best place for me to deal with them.
Yeah.
But practically, like just over Thanksgiving, because that's when it happened, was during Thanksgiving. So it's made my holiday season, like there's an extra flavor of pain because that's when it happened. But it's the constant decision making, the constant, you know, people talk about these days a lot more like decision fatigue. And I think when you're a single parent as well, thank God mine are older and I don't have to deal with such like littles. Cause I know that, I mean, you're making all the decisions when they're that little. And I mean, if you know a single mom who has littles, like, please don't just ask her, how can I help you?
Right.
Say, hey, can I buy you groceries?
Right.
You know, think about those kinds of things, more practical. Don't make her make a decision.
Yeah. That's such a good word.
It really is.
That's such a good word.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But unity. So with believers that you're struggling with during the Christmas season, I think if you focus on what Jesus did, then it's so much easier to focus on building unity with someone, because while we were yet sinners, while we were unlovable, God died, like Jesus died for us, and he created a path for us to be with him forever. And that's the most absolutely loving and selfless act. Our job, I think, is to try to, in our own way, you know, create that kind of selfless act. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that we're best friends.
Sure.
But sometimes, you know, when you have to be around them, that means you're going to bite your tongue.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I heard a quote not too long ago that said, sometimes we're so right that we're wrong.
Mm. That's big.
And, you know, it's one of those when you're like, I am going to so make you understand my point that I've now entered into a place that is wrong.
Yeah. And it doesn't work.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Ears that are not willing to hear, eyes that are not willing to see, you cannot do anything about that.
Yep.
So again, that's why I come back to prayer. I pray all the time. I'm like, remove the scales, remove the blindness and the deafness, and bring them back to their first love, or, you know, just show them for the first time how much you love them. It's it's so hard.
Yeah. I think one of the things, as I'm sitting here listening to you talk, that probably so many of us struggle with in unity is the humility aspect of it.
Oh yeah.
The remembering I'm a sinner too. Mm-hmm. And it's a comparison thing of, well, I didn't do that.
Right.
Okay. Maybe you didn't do that, but you did do, you know, whatever your thing is.
We've all got some.
Yeah. And, gosh, humility is the, you know, I'm going to be quiet.
Yeah.
I'm not. And it's also, I think it's one of those of the prayer and letting God fight my battles.
Absolutely.
Instead of feeling like I've got to fight this thing, I've got to defend myself, and going, God's doing this. He's already won the battle.
Right.
Like, he's already done the thing. I'm fighting a battle. I don't have to. I think there's a song that says that. Mm-hmm. but there, it's letting that go. But there is something about our fleshliness.
Oh, yeah.
That makes us want to bow up. And go, I've got to fight this thing.
Well, the vision of a yoke just came into my mind. And I was just thinking about, you know, in marriage, God tells us not to be unequally yoked, right, because again, you're trying to work towards the same goal. And if you're going in opposite directions, right, you're getting nowhere.
Nowhere.
So that applies to believers working towards the same goal as well. If you are, like you're saying, if I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, you're pulling in one direction and not listening. So that means you're really not getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. So in order to create that unity, in order to create that path where you're walking together, you have to be willing to slow down and listen and be patient. Right. And sometimes even compromise a little bit, as long as it's not, you know, unbiblical.
Right. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it, because I think people say, well, I want to make sure they know what the Bible says or what God's words. I'm like, do that. Mm-hmm. And then I think, I don't know, some podcast I was listening to maybe that was for parents of adult children. Mm-hmm. And it said, if your child knows how you stand on something, mm-hmm, you do not need to say it again.
Nope.
But I was like, but what if they haven't started doing the thing that I said that I thought they should do? And it very much is one. I think that's similar with even people. Mm-hmm. Man, if you have people in your life that you're like, I don't know if they know Jesus.
Yeah.
Share the gospel. Do the thing. But then the next time you see them, you might not need to do it again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you can look different every time you talk about it, too.
Yeah.
You can talk, you're straight up the first time, share the gospel, lay out the truth, make sure they understand it, make sure they know it.
Yep.
And then maybe the next time you're around them, it can be like, oh, man, this is what God's doing in my life right now. And you share your story and how God's really moving. And the realness of God in your life can sometimes sound so much louder than scripture.
Absolutely.
Which,
yep.
I think that's why God tells us so much to just share our stories.
They'll know us by our love.
Yeah.
And by, the fruit of the Spirit coming out of us.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily just our words, but how are we treating people?
Yeah.
How are we approachable?
Mm-hmm.
Are we willing to love people in spite of their sin?
Yeah.
Not excusing sin, but in spite of it.
Right.
It's a whole hard deal. And I will say, probably you and I both, the number of times that I've talked to people that maybe are coming back to the church or have never walked with Jesus, and they'll say, the reason I didn't want to come to church is because of people.
Yeah. It's so true.
Because they weren't kind.
Yeah.
Not because they didn't share the gospel with me.
Right.
But because they weren't kind, or they weren't welcoming, or they looked at me and said, well, you better fix yourself up before you come. And that's so the opposite of what the gospel is. Yeah. And so, man, I don't want to be a stumbling block.
No.
And to somebody coming to a relationship with
the Lord. I think some people find it easier to share the gospel because that's straightforward.
Yes.
I think scripture's so straightforward. But loving someone with humility, that requires work.
Yeah.
That requires looking internally and seeing, where do I need to fix myself? How can I look more like Jesus? Mm-hmm. That requires a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it is not easy. Denying yourself, it's the hardest thing that humans do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because especially in our culture where it's, you do you. Everything is about making you happy, pursuing happiness. But that is not biblical.
No.
We are to die to ourselves, which... That don't sound easy to me.
No. And it's not.
It's hard.
And one thing I think that even because you're here, people would look at you and say, well, you're doing the thing. Look at you. Mm-hmm. You're doing so great. And you're like, yeah, every day I have to wake up and choose yet again.
Oh, yeah.
To do the thing. And sometimes at lunch, and sometimes an hour later, and sometimes 5 minutes later. And I think people sometimes get this idea of, well, they've got it.
Right.
And it's such a process.
It is. Grief is essentially what, I'm walking through the grief of my lost future, things not being the way I thought, the death of a marriage.
Yes.
It's a roller coaster journey that really I'll be on till the day I die. There will always be some element of something that recurs or comes back. And, sometimes I have dreams of things, I have created really good boundaries because sin does have consequences.
Absolutely.
You, even between other believers, you're going to have things that happen between the two of you. And that doesn't mean that you don't love them anymore or you you know, don't, you're not acting kind towards them. Yeah. But there are consequences to that, and that means less access.
Absolutely.
So you create this boundary where healthy, it's still boundaries. Healthy,
they're
like
good.
You're loving them, yep. as Christ has asked you to love them. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean they get to have access to you. Maybe the access is limited. Right. Maybe it's nothing. And that's okay. I think a lot of church mm-hmm. people have this people pleaser aspect. Yeah. I was just having a conversation with someone about this yesterday, especially in ministry. I have to put myself out there. But you have to create these healthy boundaries mm-hmm. or you're going to burn yourself out.
Yep.
Or you're going to see people take that access and misuse it. Yeah. So I like to give people their opportunity. And if they misuse the access to the information, I've learned a lesson.
Right.
But.
Yeah. I think it's one of those, if you really stop and take a step back and look at your life, but also, you know, I'm thinking about in the news today, a lot of very prominent pastors and people in the church that are succumbing to great sin. Not because they aren't a believer, but because they didn't put up healthy boundaries.
Yes.
So that they wouldn't burn out.
Right.
Because it's in burnout that sin comes a lot easier mm-hmm. because your defenses are so right. worn down.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing. There's healthy boundaries. So
absolutely.
Your healthy boundaries is you've hurt my feelings. So you get less information from me, mm-hmm. but I'm still going to honor the Lord. And so if I'm struggling with something, like if I'm the one that hurt you and I see this boundary, that doesn't mean I no longer seek access to yeah. anyone. I'm not going to try to seek access with you, but I'm going to go find someone else who
yeah.
can call me out and maybe I'll listen to that person.
Yeah.
So I think you have to find that balance of, I need to have, it's finding the people to hold you accountable.
Absolutely.
Accountability, I think, is the thing that really is at the root mm-hmm. of what a lot of people, like, who are high in, people who fall away from the Lord, it's just this lack of accountability.
Absolutely.
I genuinely believe that's what happened in my situation.
Yeah.
And it's just, this sin became more enjoyable than honoring the Lord.
Right. Absolutely.
And you gotta have accountability.
Yeah. For sure. I think that's hugely important. And, you know, if we want to truly be known mm-hmm. by the Lord and by people, mm-hmm. we have to be willing to be vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And so we have to have safe spaces where we yeah. can share and feel like this person cares about me and they are going to mm-hmm. pray with me and they're going to help me and they're going to walk with me. And sometimes that vulnerability, somebody might look at you and say, hey, I hear you. I'm not the one.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help you find
right.
somebody.
Yeah.
You know,
I've kind of had to have that conversation
yeah.
with people in my life. It's difficult because I was in divorce care with a bunch of wonderful ladies and we were all at our very most vulnerable right. time. And we really created this incredible group of ladies that just, we were there for each mm-hmm. other. And we had, you know, all kinds of girls nice together and we cried together and laughed together. It was great. But as some of us progressed at different time frames, which is okay.
Right.
You can see how like some of us have maintained relationships and some of us just kind of separated yep. and that's okay.
Right.
But just to know that like someone who's in like maybe the deepest pain, I might not still be that person. It might still be too right. close to the rawness of my pain where I'm like, oh, I can't be that for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So let me find someone who's further down the road even.
Absolutely.
Or maybe someone who's also in that exact same season. And you guys, as long as you're both moving towards Jesus, you can right. hold each other.
Yeah. And again, I think that's where that comes to that part of not feeling like as believers, I've got to be a people pleaser. I've got to be that for everybody.
Right.
Healthy boundaries of going, it's hey, I can't be this mm-hmm. for you right now. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't be the one. And not feeling guilty about that.
Yeah.
But then saying, but hey, let's try to find you somebody else. Mm-hmm. Or hey, I'll be praying that somebody
yeah.
can come along and step yeah. into that. Because mm-hmm. in reality, they want the right person.
Oh, yeah. Too. You definitely want someone who's going to be invested.
Yeah.
And because, again, it's that working together, united, you're working towards the same goal. So if someone's like, OK, I'm like half in it, that's not really
right.
unity. That's them giving you half.
Yeah, Absolutely.
You might get there eventually, but you're going to go real slow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say, y'all, as you're walking into the holidays, one, remember for each, every single one of us, man, make your focus Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it is going to set all the other things in mm-hmm. his perspective, yeah. not our perspective. And yep. so fully focusing on him each day. And then so often, y'all, it's just not talking as much.
We really
so
gotta stop
much
talking.
Of it is just, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that, I think that's probably the biggest thing mm-hmm. I could say to people is, you know, yeah. like at my one of the Thanksgivings we had, it turned to politics, which was fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It was no big deal. But it was one of those where I looked across the room at one of my kids and I went, it's not the time, you know, and
yeah.
and not that they would have said anything crazy, but I was like, this conversation can last this long and we can move on.
Yeah.
Or it can turn the course of the day.
Yeah.
We don't need to.
No.
And there's so much of just, mm-hmm. and it's really praying about all the words that come out. I mean, think about how many yeah. times Jesus said what he said and then he went away to be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes.
You know, I mean, I think we feel like we have to just say all the things all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have learned that in a variety of ways. Like some people will ask me, oh, hey, how you doing? How are the kids? I can say fine. Great.
Yep.
And that's their cue. It should be their cue. Whereas like, that's all I'm saying.
That's it for today.
Some people like to pursue. And I'm like, yeah, no, we're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. You can do that.
Yep.
And then with, but on the other side of that is having that person where you're like, okay, it's awful.
Yep.
It's awful.
Yes.
And like, for me, Thanksgiving this year was, it was very different. We went yeah. and visited my oldest, Corbin. He's working up in Fort Worth, Dallas area. And so we went and visited him for Thanksgiving. And he was working at his job at Black Bear Diner. And so he was working the whole day. So we went up and had our meal for Thanksgiving at Black Bear Diner. Right. It was me and my two boys and my parents and Corbin
working.
Walking around.
Yeah.
And it was so unconventional mm-hmm. for me that I made one pie.
Right.
That's it. And so that was very weird. And I think if I had let that sit and really allowed myself to wallow in the fact that it was different and it wasn't right. what it used to be and it wasn't what I wanted it to be and I was missing out on things that I didn't used to miss out on, if I let myself think all of those things and sit in them,
mm-hmm.
it could have taken me down a spiral.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and that's what put, that's that place where you're sitting in temptation becomes mm-hmm. much harder. So if you take those things and go, you know what, instead of thinking about the negative of this, you know what I'm thinking about? I don't have to wash dishes.
Yes.
I don't have to clean my house.
Yep.
I don't have to do anything yep. other than bring this pie.
Yeah.
And it was in a throwaway tin.
Right.
So it was, yeah. there was wonderful things about that. And then focusing on how proud I am of my son mm-hmm. and him working despite it being Thanksgiving
right.
Day, him missing out on family things because he's being responsible. And so seeing those, focusing on gratitude, mm-hmm. I've talked about this before. It's just, it shifts your perspective
yeah.
back to where it's supposed to be. As long as we are focusing on what is good and what is mm-hmm. holy and all of those things that it talks about in Philippians, then it really helps so much to keep our mind off of the negative, and it pulls us in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Our thoughts are always pulling us in one direction
yep.
or another,
yep.
to Christ or away from him. And so one of my favorite quotes is the Charles Spurgeon, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's something to the extent of, I kiss the wave that pressed me towards the rock. And it's taking those trials, taking those sufferings
yeah.
and allowing them to push you to Jesus and seeing what an enormous blessing that is.
I love that. That's beautiful. I think walking into the season, in all the seasons, mm-hmm. we are going to have sadness and we're going to have joy.
Yes.
And we hold them both.
They can coexist.
They, and it's one of those things, mm-hmm. I was talking to a friend this week and I was like, they have to.
Ooh.
Because I'm like, if all I did was the happy, happy, good, 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 well, then I'm not mm-hmm. being real. and probably not processing things and not dealing with things and stuff, not process, right? But then at the same time, if all I did was focus on the hard and the sad, then I'm missing the joy and the thanksgiving that comes with all of that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, no, I have to.
It's a balance between those poles. That's what it is. It's that balance. So you're sitting here on the rock of Christ, on that foundation, and not letting it pull you. You just sit in that. Right. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because I'm like, you got to deal with your stuff.
You do.
Right? You've got to.
You can't
ignore it. Even like you were saying with Thanksgiving, you were like, I chose to be thankful for that and have gratitude for that. But probably at some point, you were like, this stinks.
Yeah.
And this is not what I would have chosen. And you have to process that too. Yeah.
You can't sweep things under the rug.
No, because it's just going to come back out at the most inopportune times.
You're going to end up tripping on it.
Yes. It's going to come out at somebody that you didn't mean for it to come out.
Oh, always.
You know, all that stuff.
And I mean, so, my son,
both.
My baby boy, he was talking about a friendship and how he just an issue they were having. And I was like, I think he's upset and he's taking it out on you. And he was like, huh? But even at the age of 15, like that's what we do when things that are upsetting us, sometimes we don't handle them the right way if we're not dealing with
them. Thinking about stuff. Mm-hmm. We're reading this book in our discipleship ministry about emotionally healthy leaders. Mm-hmm. And one of the things it was, because I had just finished reading it and then some stuff was going on and I was getting unusually upset. You know, I was like, what? And I mean, literally, I just read the book and I was like, wait, let me stop. Why am I really upset?
Yeah.
Like, usually in those moments, that's not what you do. You know, it's hard. It's what we should do, whatever. But it was one of those where I was like, wait, I'm not really mad at my oven. That shouldn't be making me that upset. Something else is going on. But it's digging into that and looking at it. And it is those things that you just stuff away.
Yeah.
They come out.
Yeah. And I think it's even a concept that the world has grasped. If you think about like Alcoholics Anonymous or things like that, the first thing they do is, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm an alcoholic. They identify
That's right.
So, and I was, again, in the conversation I was having yesterday, look at your life. Look at the things, especially the things that bother you. Identify them. Mm. You have to figure out what's bothering you, first of all. So this happened when this happened. Why? So then you can identify it and then you can start trying to figure out why that happened. And then you can start trying to work towards, you know, dealing with it. So you have to identify the things. You got to deal with the things. The only way to get through your pain is to go through your pain.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. And at the exact same time, we have the promise of eternity with Jesus Christ because he did die on the cross for our sins. And so even in that, there is such joy.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how God did that for us.
Absolutely.
And even created us to be able to handle and hold both of those with his goodness and his strength.
Yeah. We're doing life with or without him. So we're going to be dealing with the same struggles no matter what. And I've said this so many times, I don't know how people deal with stuff without Jesus. The hope that I have, where we're holding that balance of the joy and the pain, but I ultimately have his hope and I can cling to that in a way that just, it doesn't matter what's going on. I have something to hold on to in the storm. He's my life thing.
Yeah.
Lifesaver.
Yeah.
Whatever you call those things.
Yeah.
So the storm's still happening. But 100%. I have something to hold on to.
He's that anchor.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what we're doing in our lives, we have the choice to choose hope or hopeless.
Yeah.
And choose hope.
Choose hope.
Always.
Choose hope.
Yeah.
And guys, here's the deal. If you are in a place you're like, that sounds really good. I am struggling. Man, St. John so wants to be here for you, right? Yes. And you are not alone.
Not at all.
So many of us are struggling with that. Mm-hmm. We have an amazing counseling program, department here at the church that is phenomenal. Come down and ask for prayer on a Sunday morning. You just walk down and that's it. Call me with the women's ministry. We will help you. Jason, who's always behind our camera and so faithful, men's ministry. Mm-hmm. Listen, there are people here that want to come alongside you and give you resources, help you get connected, whatever that may look like for you. And if you're somebody that's like, I've walked through that and the Lord is doing a mighty work in my life, start looking around for who you can pour into.
Absolutely.
Start looking around for where you can share what God's done in your life with somebody else. It'd be great if people didn't have to call the church and ask for it. they met people in the hallways and in their connect groups, and it, you know, people were willing to share that. And that happens all the time, which is fabulous. And so be willing to do that. But know that we are praying for you this holiday season, just to have unity with the Lord and to have unity with people. And we didn't even touch on unity in the church. And that's okay. We won't. We don't have to do that today. That's a whole different deal. But just for you to be able to have that with the people around you, whatever that may look like for you. So I so appreciate you always coming and being willing to share. And you do such a great job. And
thanks.
I love that. I love that we got to do the weekend with our college girls.
It was great.
Y'all listen, if you don't know Sagemont U, if you have a college kid, it's a great place to send them. It's an amazing ministry.
Tuesdays, I think at like
Tuesdays
6:30?
At 6:30. So they stay here forever till like midnight because they're college kids and they can do that and wake up the next day. And so, but yeah, it's just, I appreciate you so much. Thanks for all you do.
I appreciate you. Hey, you're great.
Thanks. We have fun. Come hang out with us at Sagemont. We have a really good time. We'd love for you to be here with us. Hey, Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Have an awesome Christmas. Come join us for Christmas Eve services. Christmas Eve, December 23rd at 6 p.m. And then December 24th, Christmas Eve, 2, 4, and 6. All the services will look the same. We'd love for you to come and join us. It's going to be a great time of celebrating Jesus' birth and the promise of who he is and what he has done for us and continues to do for us and our salvation and eternity with him. It's why we celebrate. So come hang out and join us. Have a merry, merry Christmas. We will see you next time.